Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. You're going to like Nehemiah. Father, I thank you for your precious word, and it gives us so much insight into politics and people wanting their own way. So many things, Lord, and I'm grateful for someone like Nehemiah who said he wouldn't stand for it. He was going to do what he could. It doesn't take a whole lot of people, just one faithful person that loves you, and they can move mountains, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the way that you meet our needs, Lord, and we ask now that you'd become our teacher and our guide, that we would be blessed for being in your word and carry away something precious to chew on this week. Help us, Lord. We need to hear your voice, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can follow along in Nehemiah 1, and or you can just sit back and relax and... It's almost an autobiography as you get into Nehemiah. It's all about him. And he was the son of Hilkiah. And in December of the 20th year of Artaxerxes of Persia, when he was in the palace of Shushan, one of the fellow Jews named Hananiah came to visit Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was very concerned about what was going on in Jerusalem. And that has puzzled me all week. Why would he be concerned about Jerusalem? He wasn't born there, he didn't live there, and I really chewed on that one all week. So he took the opportunity to ask his fellow and the fellows that had come with him how things were in Jerusalem. Are they getting along? I asked. And the Jews who returned to Jerusalem from exile there, how are they doing? Well, he replied, things are not good. The place is in a shambles. In a shambles? Well, they've been back in the land for over 70 years. Why are things in a shambles? And so then he did something that I was really puzzled over too, is he sat down and cried. That seemed kind of strange to me. I mean, I'm glad he did, because he was... that concerned, but for somebody who had never been born there or involved there, here he is weeping, not only weeping but mourning for the beautiful city of Jerusalem, which basically was a shambles. I was thinking after Christmas, that's basically our houses, kind of are a shambles. Till everything gets put away. And so you can identify with him. He was very concerned. He even refused to eat for several days, for I spent the time in prayer to the God of heaven. When was the last time that you had done something like that? We have things that come up in our lives that just overwhelm us. Someone has a drug problem, someone is in an accident, something else, and you barely turn around and you run right into it. And Nehemiah would have wept right along with you. So I thought that was pretty neat. So, O Lord God, he cried out, O great and awesome God who keeps the promises and is so loving and kind to those who love and obey him. Hear my prayer. Listen carefully to what I say. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my people have committed the horrible sin of not obeying the commandment you gave us through your servant Moses. Oh, please remember what you told Moses. You said, if you sin, I will scatter you among the nations. Of course, they are just supposed to be getting back from that. But obey my laws, even though they are in exile, the farthest corners of the universe. I will bring you back to Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the place in which I have chosen to live. You are my servants, the people you rescued by your great power. O Lord, hear my prayer. Heed the prayers of those who delight to honor you. Please help me now as I go in and ask the king for a great favor. Put it into his heart to be kind to me, for I'm the king's cupbearer. You know, if I were the king's cupbearer, I don't think I'd want to go back to Jerusalem or go to Jerusalem. You have all those tasty morsels that the king would eat, and wines of the best in the world, and that'd be a pretty cush job. If somebody doesn't poison you, that's for sure. That would help. Well, here he had been fasting, and pretty soon his whole countenance looked down, and he was feeling pretty grim, and so on. And so the king noticed. And I thought that was a pretty good deal, too. But if you had somebody sipping your wine and eating some of your food, and suddenly this guy looks dreadfully terrible, you might be a little worried what you were eating. Not good. So he finally got the courage. Now, it's interesting how many months went by. Diane Menzel and myself both said, we'd both run to the king immediately and tell him what's going on, and probably put our feet in our mouth. But Nehemiah didn't do that. He waited. It was about 4 months. And I thought, I wouldn't be able to sit on that long. 4 months. But that's when the king noticed that he was pretty down. The problem with all of this is that when you start, you know, going back into what we've studied, is they took an awful lot of gold to Jerusalem. And in fact, they had built the temple, and where they put the gold, I have no idea, but I am sure they didn't leave it lying around. And so that was bothering Nehemiah. He wanted to make sure this was a safe place. Now, you and I, if they built a fence, electric fence even, around Castor Valley, we wouldn't give it a second thought. We would just go on and walk through it. And but not so in those days. It was protection, and certainly protection for the temple. And that's what we don't. That's what we miss today. Although some people are living in gated communities just for that reason, because they want that protection. How much there is in that, I don't know. I'll let you figure that one out. But it was a dangerous thing. And Hananiah had told him, well, things aren't good. And the walls of Jerusalem are still torn down, and the gates are all burned. When he heard this, he was in deep mourning. But he reminded the Lord that he was just simply a cupbearer. Looking sad around the king was something you just didn't do. If you look sad, and he found there was no real reason for it, you could be executed right there. He would behead you. And then he could execute a few more people too. But you know, that's the neat thing about Nehemiah, is he spent a lot of time in prayer and fasting. And his prayers is quite significant. So, well, everyone around the king should look happy. I like that song that we sang this morning. I thought it tied right in with our lesson. I thought that was really neat. And then no one was trying to poison the king, Artaxerxes. So he asked a question of Nehemiah. And he took the position that to speak to the king as his trusted cupbearer, who ensured the safety and the quality of the king's food and drink, Nehemiah was concerned. As soon as the king caught him on it, he was concerned that perhaps he would take him out and execute him. But Nehemiah used his position to, he was highly entrusted. So what would you have done? Would you have gone along with the king and said, Nehemiah's going to try to kill you? Or would you have done something else? But he was frightened. It's okay to be frightened. It's okay to have some sorrow. But Nehemiah never stopped. He moved forward. Something, a good warning for us. But you couldn't even wear mourning clothes in front of the king. That was not allowed. Because everybody was supposed to be happy that was in front of the king. I was thinking about that last night, how great that will be. One day we'll be in front of the Lord Jesus, King of Kings. Won't that be exciting? No fear there, for sure. Well, Nehemiah asked the king Artaxerxes for permission to go to Jerusalem to rebuild its fallen walls. And again, this puzzled me all week, because I thought, well, he could just sit there at his breakfast table and not give it a second thought. But Nehemiah didn't. He was very concerned about it. And then he got some letters. They were called royal letters from the king, so he could travel. And he was very wise. And that's, I don't know if you've ever had to do something for your church, but be prepared ahead of time. Don't just say, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. Be prepared, and that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He organized these people into groups as he got back to Jerusalem. Here he doesn't know anybody. He wasn't born there. However, there's three guys that come into the picture, Sanballat, Tobiah, and this other guy, I can't remember his name now, but that's another lesson. And they're very annoying. And they try to stop the work. And the nice part about it is Nehemiah doesn't budge. He's not weak at all. But we'll pick those up in another lesson. And they were threatening sabotage and fear and tiredness and all kinds of things. But he had a strategy. And I like this strategy. It's not anything that you and I can't do. One is that he was a prayer warrior, and he prayed for these people, and then he tried to give them encouragement. And then I think the important thing is he got a guard duty stationed outside these gates that were falling down or had been burned, and Nehemiah stood firm. And someone helped him. And guess who that someone is? It's the Lord himself. Just think about that. You might feel very alone in a situation and you feel like there's no future, but the Lord Jesus is right there with you. He's promised never to leave you. He's promised that he will guide you and that he's right there. And I'm sure some of you ran into in-laws and outlaws during the holidays. I kind of lucked out. I was in bed the whole time for the first Christmas in my life. And it worked out pretty well. However, I wouldn't recommend it. Don't get sick on Christmas. But he had this strategy, and so he prayed for them and encouraged them. He had a guard duty, and he stood firm. Someone helped him, and that someone was the Lord Jesus. Nehemiah is burdened. That is the real issue. He's burdened. That's all he can think about. I so often will plow into something, and I have no business plowing, but there I am in the middle of it, creating a mess. But not Nehemiah. He thinks the thing through. He allows God to burden him, and he wept over it. But you know, the Lord really knew who to pick. It says, what a tender heart Nehemiah had. I thought that was really special. Because he could have stayed back. You know, all those goodies that the king, he had to taste what the king was eating. I kind of like that. I think I would have stayed back and told the Lord, well, you can find someone else. But not Nehemiah. Actually, he's the last of the Old Testament historical books. And he records the history of the third return to Jerusalem. First you had it under Zerubbabel, and then we had it under Ezra, and now we have it under Nehemiah. And I think the numbers became less and less as they went along, but I didn't find any of that. So he told the people how to rebuild walls. Now, he's a cupbearer. How does a cupbearer tell other people how to build the walls? I don't know. I think it's real interesting who God uses. So if you feel like, well, I'm nobody, don't feel that way, because you're somebody. And if God has put this on your heart, listen to that, because he uses strange people like me. Get stranger every day. So anyway, and as we get into building those walls, you're going to find out the strangest people are going to be building them, like jewelers and other things. It's just, God has such an interesting sense of humor. I know when we get to heaven, he's going to be roaring. Can you imagine walking around with Peter and not laughing from time to time? I think it would have been just great. Well, he returned with that third great group, and they got busy on the walls, and we're going to have a whole lesson on that. And it's so easy to analyze and talk about all the problems in the world, isn't it? You probably did that over Christmas if you had a relative or any relatives over. You talked about all the shortcomings in the world. But someday that will be finished with, and we won't be distressed over it. As Nehemiah, instead of wallowing around in self-pity and grief, he took action. That really has hit home for me this week, is to take action. God knew that he had a cush job being a cupbearer. He tasted all the best food, but it was his problem that he was really concerned about. The temple needed to be protected. God put the desire to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem in Nehemiah's heart. giving him a vision for the work. Just, you know, if you have something like that, think about it and pray about it. And like Nehemiah, you don't have to rush out to get it finished. God will put it on the right people's hearts. The king had to be pulled into this, and he had to agree to it. And he doesn't argue with Nehemiah at all. I guess they probably had a wonderful relationship, Nehemiah and Artaxerxes, because he was always there tasting things. Well, pretty soon, if somebody's always there on your side, you think you're inclined to tell them private things or decisions that you're having to make. And pretty soon, you've become pretty good friends. And that's what happened here. Nehemiah, though a Jew, and Artaxerxes, a Persian, they got along pretty well. And the Lord was right in the middle of it, giving him a vision. Nehemiah faced ridicule. I think that was the part that we'll also have a lesson on. Nehemiah's going to face slander and scorn and ridicule and enemies, threats from enemies, as well as fear, as well as conflict, and as well as discouragement. Now, those are the things that would have gotten to me. Not the fact that the walls were all in shambles, but that people were criticizing what we were trying to do. You know, I've come all the way from Shushan, and I would like to build this, and you guys behave yourself. But they didn't. There's always critics. So if you ever do anything for the Lord or involved in something like that, and you keep getting criticism, just cheer up. It's only going to be there for a little while. But and you know what? Prayer is still the mighty force God has. It hasn't changed. And if you're looking at something today and you say, oh, this is just impossible, God even thinks it's impossible. No. Just give it to him and see what he'll begin to do. We have impossible situations. We have kids that get involved in drugs. We have kids that take off. We have all kinds of things that are going on, and it's hard and painful. So, but the Lord's right there with you. And all he's asking for you to do is to keep praying about it. Prayer and action kind of go together, though. Don't forget that. Well, God guides our prayers. And I didn't bring it with me, but I have a little book at home from the prayer warriors of the past that if you're praying today for an offspring, say they've gotten involved in drugs, and you're afraid I may die before I see any results, well, be encouraged. Those prayers go on after your death. They're always before the Lord. And that encourages my heart to know that they're just endless. Well, maybe I better look for that book so I can bring it and read a couple of paragraphs. It might encourage a few of you over your kids. Positive thinking doesn't substitute for doing the difficult. Remember that. You can sit in your armchair and say, well, this is how I look at this, and not get out of it and not do a thing. And you know, there's a tendency to allow conflict and discouragement to put us in the chair and not get out again. And it's, don't go there. Prayer is God's mighty force. Nehemiah fasted and prayed. He expressed his sorrow for Israel's sin. His desire was that Jerusalem again would come alive with worship. And I was thinking, do we pray that for our churches, that would come alive with worship? True God, wouldn't that be amazing? And people would be drawn into the presence of the Lord. His prayer, he demonstrated the elements of effective prayer. And I like that. First, he praised the Lord. If you can think back to the last time you took some time with the Lord, did you praise him? Did you give him thanksgiving? Did you remember sin? It's so easy just to kind of hop, skip, and jump over sin. But remember that. And was it a specific request? Was your heart committed to it? And when God's leaders are people of prayer, difficult decisions can be made in proper perspective, and proper action will follow. Don't push aside prayer. Grab it and get some other people that will pray with you, and then be committed to it. Don't flop back in your chair and say, well, somebody else will take care of it. No, let's ask the Lord. We might have walls in our lives. They may be full of, maybe in shambles, but that might be where God would want those walls to come down. Maybe they're within a home, and God is saying, let's get those walls down. So think it through. Nehemiah was just one person. You are just one person. Don't be discouraged by it. God has lots of plans for each of us. One day we'll be before him. Won't that be the day? And all of this will be behind us. Think of this. This is almost around 400 years before Christ. This is a long time ago. And yet it's just as true and apropos for today that it ever has been. So keep the Lord before you in prayer, and your days will go a lot different. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for someone like Nehemiah who didn't try to push your hand, didn't try to force anything. He just waited on you to tenderize the king, to tenderize his own heart towards those exiles. And one day, Israel becomes a mighty place. One day Israel becomes the place that you one day will rule from. And it's still ahead of us. And you will set up your kingdom. We look forward to that day, Lord, when it's all behind us. And that we're grateful and thankful that you're with each of us, that you love us. If anyone here today needs to get right with you, I pray that they might reach out to you, Lord, and confess their sin and ask you to come into their life and to make you their child. God, we never can take that lightly or for granted. And anyone that needs a helping hand today, Lord, may they sense your presence. May they want to be closer to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.